Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Battle for a New Champion Wrap-Up Podcast for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn, and me, as always, is my co-host, Alastair. Ali, how are you?
Same answer as always. In the immediate present, I am okay. At a macro level, I am not well, but happy to be talking about the episode.
Yeah, here we are, another season. We've just put to bed USA Season 2. Right off the bat, season 39 kickstarts here, and we definitely have a season. I don't know how good it's gonna be, but we have a challenge season.
Look, I'm choosing to Mitch watch the whole concept. I'm loving the format, I'm loving the control phase. We'll talk about it. Obviously, we didn't know, you know, much after episode zero, although a few things I'm like, how did we not assume that? But that's how I always feel. Hindsight is 2020, or as you and Asaf might say, hindsight is good. But I just want to take a moment to say how great the final exit interviews were. I texted you about this, I tweeted about it, but for anybody who would listen to this podcast as I would listen to it and probably not listen to Exit Press, no disrespect.
Right.
I sat down and I watched on YouTube the interviews, and they were delightful.
Thank you so much. They really were a lot of fun. All seven of the eight finalists, you know, excluding the one who was mysteriously absent, brought a lot to it. They were all really fun. I think a lot of them had a lot of good things to share and a lot of good things to talk about. So it was always a thrill. It's such a thrill to get to do this with Rob, and they get to talk to these challengers and survivors, Big Brothers, all these people. So it was really a lot of fun to do these throughout the year.
Yeah, no, your interest in doing that is the only reason this podcast exists in the first place. So it's nice
that
you're coming full circle there. And, you know, it's really, all of them are, of course, worth listening to. But you really see, like, we joke about producer Bananas, but the way Bananas talks about this show, and even the way Bananas participates in an interview, right? Like, you're asking questions that are unique questions. They're not just like the same, you know, whatever. There's a lot of thought behind. And he's like, yeah, no, here was it. And it's like, he knows exactly what you're trying to get at before it even comes out of your mouth. He, like, the way he talks about, like, how people treated him as a layup or how that's about, like, it's just, he is a producer of the show. Like, he is the best producer of the show.
He was even producing Corey in the interview when Corey was like, what? What was the question? But I was like, you know the question. Come on. How did you avoid eliminations? You know what I'm saying here.
How'd you stay under the radar? Come on.
You know the script. Come on. We did this before.
Yeah. It was really, really interesting to see. And in that way, it's like, and I'll often listen to Rob's exit interview of Survivor players and Mike Bloom's parade coverage. There's any number of great resources if you want to listen to people on the various shows, but like, especially, I mean, Chanel and Desi were also great, but like the Bananas is just so unique in that he's done this year after year after year after year after year. Like, he's not just like a new person out with like fresh, excited energy. It's like,
right.
He should just be doing the press. Oh, wait, he has a podcast. Okay. And now everything is right in the world.
Yeah. But no, I do try to come up with questions that not like suit like the super like basic ones, because like obviously there are like so many more like exit press stuff. Like, this is not like when I started doing interviews where like anyone on Real World who would ask to be an interview, they'd be like over the moon to do one because like no one else is like talking to these people. Now there's like 40,000 venues that these people all talk to. So I do try to come up with like some uniqueness to it. And then of course I think I come up with a really cool question, and then I see it was asked like three different ways from other people too. It's like, oh, I guess it wasn't that unique. But like at the moment, I'm like, I'm trying to come up with something here.
Oh no, I think you totally succeed at that. I think that's the no press advantage, is like, you are a fan. This whole podcast is born purely out of your fandom, and you're not just on the circuit. In the way that Mike and Rob, when they interview Survivor fans, they're there because they're fans first.
Right.
And like, then they've become press. You're a fan who has happened to now get an opportunity to talk to these people. And it shows in the interview. It's like a real joy to watch and listen to.
Yeah. My vantage point is always like, if you want like the true like exit interview stuff, you go to like the professionals. And then I try to come up with like the extra layer of stuff that like they shouldn't be asking, because they are the professionals, they are the press people. And then like it's like the next layer of like, bring in like the child that asks like the superstar player a question and see what they come up with. That's like my vantage point that I try to come up with.
I mean, good for you, stay humble, but you are unfortunately on with like one of the most preeminent like reality TV legitimate people of all time, and Rob as your co-host. Like, I don't think it's like bring in the Dancing Lobsters and here come you and Rob Sesternino of Rob as a Podcast.
It is very funny though when a lot of the times that people right before we're on and they go, oh, hey Rob, how are you? And then they go, oh, Ryan, nice to meet you. It is a nice humbling experience, but yeah, it is cool though.
I was watching and my boyfriend was over and he was like, what is this? I was like, oh, Brian does interviews. And he was like, what? And then he was like, do you do them? And I just laughed and I laughed. I was like, no. So if you think you are the Dancing Lobsters, please.
Well, the one part that I always appreciate that TJ does is he doesn't assume that people know him. And especially coming to this season, most people might not know him. And I do appreciate he walks into the arena and says, hi, I'm TJ Lavin. And that just like gives such a throwback when people might have just been finding this for the first time. Like, you don't like when Probst shows up on the beach, he's not like, hi, everyone, I'm Jeff Probst. Like, TJ is humble enough to be like, hi, everyone, if you don't know me, I'm TJ Lavin. And I don't know. I love that he still does that every single season.
Yeah, that's really funny that you say that, because as you were saying that comment, I was like, well, of course he does. It's like, it's to the audience. It's like, but you're right. If Jeff Probst did that, it would be like, if the most he ever does is like when they're breaking the fourth wall, he's like, Probst here, you know, like it's like talking to a walkie talkie. Like, that is pretty funny. Obviously, I didn't notice that because I was too busy eating a crow from pre-complaining that they would like redo too much of episode zero. I was very pleasantly surprised that we got just like a quick montage.
Mm-hmm.
And another smart choice to just have us sort of us being the audience walk in with TJ into the arena. I think it was like really effective. Well, I thought the sleepover was sort of whatever in episode zero. It really serves in this episode to allow them have the house move in the actual episode one. I really did like that we still got that energy in the first episode, even though we had everybody already do the toast and already drink and already make out in episode zero.
Yeah, we even had like the first challenge even before they move in. I feel like that's also a different vibe. So again, they are trying different things out. Even TJ was like hinting. TJ never really wants to even know about what happens behind the scenes. But even he was like at a couple times being like, yeah, we know the challenge is also about having fun and partying. So like, let's get you to do that. And even that was like, TJ, like, you're not supposed to know about that. That's if the teacher saying, you know, like people are going to skip school. Like, you shouldn't be saying that. Like, you're here for business.
That's so real. When he said that, I was like, is he like the college RA in the freshman dorm who's like, I'm cool. Like, I'm not like other RAs. Like, I'm not like your parents. Like, I understand that, like, you're also here to have a social experience. Like,
right.
We don't need you to tell us that.
Right. It makes it like uncool. It's like when your parents are in on like a TikTok trend and then like, all right, well, on to the next one. Like, now maybe like the cool thing is to not party on the challenge house. Like, is that the next meta? Because now they're like, TJ is expecting it from you.
Here's something that relates to this, but I'm curious. Like, TJ also says, quote, this is the season I've been waiting for. And, you know, again, we're used to, as Survivor fans, Jeff Probst or even like Chris Harrison, RIP of The Bachelor, being like, this is the most exciting, unbelievable season. Or sometimes Jeff will not hype up a season and like try to bury it. And you're like, oh, I guess a woman won or whatever. We don't usually, at least it's not in my recollection, that TJ is like really hyping up a season. Like, he'll go along with saying Vendettas 80 times to drill right. home like that it's a Vendetta season, but he seems particularly like he really wants this to work and he's selling it to us.
No, I totally agree, because like I do think a lot of what TJ says is like fully in a script, but I just can't see the writers being like, let's put in TJ saying this is the season I really want. Like, that just feels like TJ just added that in because he wants to see new people like compete and have appreciation and like do really well and like overcome their past seasons and like get a win. I think he actually just genuinely wants to see like new people win and succeed. So I fully believe like he might have almost been pushing this from behind the scenes, but at the very least, it's like, oh, cool, this is what we're doing this year. That's so cool. I love this.
See, and I'm cynical because I'm like, well, he sees these people aging out and he needs a new crop of people to hit.
Right.
But no, I think TJ has said, when they put TJ on like a press junket, I don't know if he said this with you or if he said this elsewhere, but like he at least self-reports that he mostly just shows up and says whatever. Maybe it was in the like challenge retrospective. Like, they give him like beats and he apparently says what he wants to say.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I don't I don't even think the show would give him that beat to say.
No, like, certainly not. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you. Like,
yeah.
I think even less of it is scripted than potentially most, like certainly than Trendbot. Right.
Like, I'm sure the beats they told him to say were like, oh, this is all new people. You've only played once or twice. You've never won before. And I think his beat was like, oh, this is actually cool. This is like, he might have been learning what the theme was as he was reading the script. And his like self-thought at the time was like, oh, this is what we're doing this year. This is really cool. I've always wanted this.
You mean when he was calling up everyone legitimately, right, telling them that he's personally selected them to be on the cast? You think he didn't know what the theme was?
Yeah, TJ Grodner.
Meanwhile, you do press a couple seasons and you're trying to write the beats now. Let's stay in your lane.
Okay, beep, beep, beep. Let me back up.
We get a prize. This is the part where I was like, I can't believe we didn't guess this. And you were so close, because we were talking about in the control stage when they're all working together, like, what's the motivation? And you suggested, which I still would have loved, like, maybe there's some individual prize pot you're contributing to. One step off, they are starting the prize pot at $300,000, which got complete crickets from the audience, which is hilarious, by the way, because they've given that amount of money out. That's more than the individual winners of Challenge USA received.
Right. That's more money that Bananas, I think, stole from Sarah. And, like, that's like the most iconic moment ever. I think that was like $225 or something like that he like won collectively. So, yeah, it wasn't too long ago that was like a huge amount.
It's still like, again, for an individual winner to win $500,000 is more than most people win on this the show. But so it'll start at $300,000 and they will compete to add money to the pot in the group challenges and can bring the price up to $500,000.
Yes, up to $500,000 total. I guess now, obviously, this challenge, like this week, they lose 50. So I guess now it's a max of 450. But I think he also explained that, like, when the champions come in, they might be trying to take money from them. So could it be less than 300,000, or is there also going to be individual money that you can lose by going in against? Because I thought the way my understanding was, like, each elimination, obviously this is not the case, like, each elimination round was going to be against the champ and you like had to battle it with them, and whoever does the best is going to win. So now I'm like even more confused as to what the champs are actually doing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, because I think we got a soundbite from Jarrell that we talked about in episode zero of, like, I'm coming to take your money. So, yeah, is it possible that the dailies in the can't get through it phase. I don't remember what the second C was.
Chaos.
Yeah. In the chaos phase are going to just be against a veteran squad. But like, yeah, good luck to them. And maybe that's more fair. Like, maybe that is how this should work, particularly if, and I know the mercenaries are like this, but like, if you go into an elimination in the first stage and you're just competing against rookies, but then you go into an elimination in the second stage and suddenly you're up against CT, like, not that everything has to be fair and balanced, but maybe it just makes more sense to have the people on the show eliminate each other and the big dogs come in to like keep money out of the pot.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's still a little confusing as to what the champs are going to do. But I guess, yeah, so now I guess the max is 450 that they can have in the total prize pool. But big plus, very happy. If they're going to do one winner, which absolutely sucks, at least they are giving out money to second and third. So a positive there.
We love looking on the bright side. Mm-hmm. No, and maybe like you're probably right. It feels like it's giving Are You the One in that like, well, now you've lost $250,000 or whatever. Now they've lost $50,000. But like, I don't know. No parents, no rules. Like, I hope they give them another 50. Like, I hope the money gets close to 500,000. Like, who says at the end they're going to be like, all right, and you can, this next one's for 100,000. Like,
right. They kind of box themselves into a corner, though, right? Because they could have just kept giving them opportunities to win more. But TJ specifically says up to $500,000. And then when they lose this, like, this money's gone forever. Like, they don't have like of all the times for the challenge to like not be as concrete and specific about the rules. This feels like what they could have easily done it. It's odd. They're just like boxing themselves in and be like, no, the max could be is 500. You've 100% lost this money forever. So if they start to give them chances to earn more than 450, then they're just like blatantly lying at this point. It's like they could have said this 50 is gone forever, but like there's no max that it could be. And you could just keep winning more.
Well, this 50 is gone forever. But another 50, that's not the same 50 I could just offer. No, you're right. And also, like, of course, they're not offering that. It's less expensive for them. Like, if they get away just giving 300,000, again, it's more money than either of the individual winners won in this last season. So, like, it's not like it's going to go down to zero and they're like the mole and they're going to be like, oh, Sorry, this is a $12,000 prize pot now.
Right. Well, look, I mean, look, they're the ones doing these multiple seasons every year. So they're giving out more and more money. So maybe they're like, all right, 39, let's like scale back because maybe like season 40, we're going to have to give out like $5 million. So maybe like for 39, let's give out like, you know, 80 grand and call it a day.
Wow. Now he's executive producing. Now he's financing. What have we been doing certainly here? Just send him to Hollywood.
I'll gladly executive produce. I am certainly not going to finance.
Oh, God. All right. So we get right to the first challenge. I made a little joke about Asaf, but English is a second language. So I give him obviously my full pass on butchering a phrase. But did you know, Brian, the correct phrase Asaf was looking for?
I did at the moment, but now I don't even remember.
So he said teamwork makes the perfect work.
Yeah, teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I had to ask.
It's very fair. Very fair to ask.
But we see our first group challenge in history.
Yeah, I think so, right? I can't imagine they've ever done a group collective challenge before.
I think they said that in some... I don't know.
Well, they also say like, you know, they say Asaf's never been on any other shows before. They won't like, so like they can fudge the things if they wanted to.
And they say that 50,000 is gone for.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, I'm not describing the challenge. Oh, okay. I'll sit here in silence all day.
No, that's what we're going for. Okay. The challenge. Hole control. Everyone had to race down into a giant muddy pit and they had to pull themselves all out of the pit while also pulling out poles that were puzzle pieces. You had to race to assemble the challenge logo at one side and also pull everyone else out of the pit on the other side. Total 10 minutes to do it.
So I thought as a first go, this was sort of like fun and funny to watch. Like they end up failing and like that's interesting to me-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm glad already we know this isn't going to be every phase, every challenge, the whole season, because I don't think there's enough rooting interest. Like, I don't really care what size the prize pot is.
Yeah, for a first one, totally fine with it. For maybe every few episodes after some type of shakeup or something like that, it's fine to do this. But I think it gave them an I wish they... Normally, I'm like cool with them losing these types of things just for the chaos of it. But I think it just gave them such an easy out of how to do a vote that I wish they had just won and finished it completely. That there was no easy like, oh, well, this group of people failed, so we could just vote them, one of them in, and that's an easy decision. So the fact that there was no other votes, no other deception that's like built up to this at this point, I don't like that it gave them such an easy out of like, all right, well, the puzzle people failed. Let's target whoever we feel was most vocal at the puzzle and we can just vote for them.
See, that's so interesting because I don't think that ended up actually mattering. Like, yes, I know people threw out Kieran. Yes, I know people are like, oh, target a woman because the woman like botched their thing. But like, really, the men want to target women because they don't want to be at risk of elimination. And Big T wants to target the men for the same reason. So I thought like people were saying that, but it felt very like early days strategizing, not rocking the boat to me, more than like a legitimate reason people were using.
I just think it just gave them an out, right? It just gave them such an easy thing to crush it. Like if they had both won, like if they finished this and completed it, like what would be the reason for going after
Big we won T in spite Berna? Of Berna. The plan was still bad, even though the women saved you. Like, you know, I guess I'm so skeptical that I never believe that like in something like this, it's like really the challenge, especially when they're throwing out like, okay, maybe if it was like a typical, well, I was going to say like Big T getting targeted for being weak. Obviously that would only matter in a season, which was like two big teams or something. And her team wants to get rid of her. Like if the structure lends itself to targeting people who are not as physically strong in the challenges, mm-hmm. I don't know that like losing the challenge made that happen, but maybe. I mean, you're right. People don't have to like stick their necks out or anything and they can just blame physicality or the challenge or whatever. But in a way, this challenge, it was impossible to blame anyone. Like there were no individual components of this challenge. So no. I guess that was good to avoid. If there was just like one person who had to go throw balls or untie something, like then it becomes an easy person to, I don't know, peg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like Big T wasn't really like the leader of the puzzle, nor was like Jessica or Berna. Like they just, they found the reasons to do it. I just don't like that they had a crutch that they can go to. Because if they'd won, or even if they did something like this, like 3 or 4 weeks in, and there was already people, you know, turning on people or just even like, there would be other reasons to like go after someone that was just like a group challenge. It wasn't like someone in power or anything like that. So it was just annoying that they had a crutch to go to. I just wish they completed it and then just like see how it would have played out and what, like hopefully some of the guys would have been called out more on their BS that there was no real reason. Not that this you can even point to like a real reason, but like even a half reason to go after some of the people that they did.
Just out here looking for half reason. No, it's fair. And one thing that maybe would be a solve to this. Well, first, Alex says, how do you feel about there being no safety from elimination for anyone winning a daily challenge? I guess the other approach they could have taken is like a la All Stars, where before you have to pick like a man and a woman captain. And if you win, they're safe. And if you lose, they're, you know, one of them is going into elimination.
Right. And honestly, I don't think that's going to be the format going forward. Like, I do think there's going to be normal-ish competitions where like someone's gonna win or a team's gonna win or a pair is gonna win and they're gonna be in control voting someone in, and then theoretically that person can then pick their opponent to go in with them. But I don't think this is gonna be how the regular daily structure. I think this is just like one format of it that that's gonna pop up sometimes. So I don't think this is gonna be the regular thing.
Oh, interesting. So you don't think it's going to be this kind of structure through whatever the whole control phase and then shift in the chaos phase and then shift in the individual game phase, which I cannot remember the name of it.
I think it's Conquest, right? Is the last one. So I'm still confused about the three phases. Like, are we just in each of those three phases once? Like, I still think they're going to be like rotate. It's going to be like, all right, right now we're in control. At some point, it's going to be chaos. At some point, it's going to go Conquest, and then it's going to like rotate back. Or do you think like the first third of the season is all control and then the next is all Conquest and then chaos and then all conquest at the end.
Yeah, so that was my look. Anything could change. I think you're taking more of a Big Brother approach to it, like
sort of
the scary verse, the whatever verse.
Yeah.
I watched like two episodes. I that could totally happen. My interpretation of episode zero was like it's three phases. The middle phase is where the
challenge guys come in,
and the third phase it shifts to an individual game. So I think it's hard to shift to an individual game and then shift back, because I think TJ said something like, it shifts to an individual game through the final. Like he said something like that, but could that be completely irrelevant? Yes. Like 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
And, so and it could still change within control, right? It could still be this challenge this week. And then next week there's a different iteration of the team challenge and the mechanism to go in. Like, I don't think it has to be this mechanism. I also was like trying to figure out, well, like, if the only money building phase is control, which I don't know that it is, then it's only four, and this was 50,000. Presumably it's like 4 weeks of these challenges where they can get up $200,000
more. Right.
Now that could also be irrelevant.
No, that's a good point. But that, I was also thinking like that those like four would pop up like through the season at various points. It's like, all right, here we go. Here's your next chance to earn more money. But I guess it would make more sense to kind of bucket them individually. But yeah, I don't know. I would hope they would try to change up like this format of like you said, maybe like you designate a captain. It almost felt like an apprentice throwback of like you designate your project manager for the week and like if they like give them the some power. I don't know. I'm curious to see how they decide to go about putting people in power, because it would be weird if they just didn't have people in power for a lot of the season.
See, I half agree and I half don't agree. Like, I agree in theory that like someone should have the ability to save themselves by winning the challenge, and they can upset the apple cart and they can change the way of the house dynamic. But there's something just like that scratches an old school itch for me about a house vote, a public house vote, and then the person who gets voted in just gets to call somebody out squarely right there. Like, I don't know that it's a format that makes the best season. I would say this. I definitively don't think it's a format that makes the whole season. I'm glad we know it's going to change. But for a few votes, especially in the beginning where everyone's going to be like piling on one person, it's fun as hell to watch that person get to turn around and call somebody out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So what else really funny is, so obviously this now is airing up against Survivor, going back to its roots of conflicting with the show it's trying to pull from. So I was, you know, at Jordan Kale's just Survivor Fantasy camp watching this. So I unfortunately was spoiled about who was going to go home this episode before I watched it. So I knew like Big T was going to go into elimination and win. So without knowing what like the structure of the voting was, as the votes were playing out, and then we see Jessica like throw her vote to Big T, or not, Horacio throw his vote to Big T, I was like, oh, is like second place votes like automatically going in? That could be kind of cool. And like, did Horacio like unknowingly screw over Big T? And then I was like, wait, would that have been really bad if they did that? Like, is that a good format? Like, the top two vote getters just go in? I feel like that's really broken, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot, but. And I mean, then it's really just like, let's have both sides of the house get to put somebody in and just have a physical fight to see who survives. Like, there's no strategy. Like, there's no swinging the majority. Just like one person from each inevitable faction.
Right. I don't know. In my head, I was like, oh, this is like kind of cool. But then I was like, oh, but then if there's like a bigger group, they could like split their votes. And there's like, is that just even more lame? I don't know. But as it was like playing out, I'm like, oh, this is like a fun thing. And then it just like turned into like a very basic but fun thing of like the person voted in gets to turn around and vote someone out. I was like, oh, well, all right, we're going back to those roots. But it was fun of those like minute and a half in my head where I was thinking like Big T was going in only because Horacio threw a rogue vote. I was like, oh my God, is Jessica gonna like unknowingly decide who she's going in against because she gets to throw the vote on Big T that she voted for herself? I was like, I don't know what's happening here.
the way I would have come here and been like, just tell people beforehand so that they could strategize more.
And also
then I also would be like, producer intervention. If Horacio's vote makes so little sense, producers had to be like, please vote for somebody else. You'll see why.
And I almost got a big egg on my face. I'm going to say it right now to get the egg on my face. But as they were doing the house tour, I was like, wow, this house looks gorgeous. This is like a really nice house. I feel like I haven't been in a house like this so nice in a while. And then sure enough, I see, oh no, this was literally the house they were just in for Challenge USA 2. And I just watched that for 2 months, 2.5 months. And I was like, oh, I guess it's the same house. I don't know. It just looks so much nicer than the one they were just in. But it's the
but
same
do you
house.
Know where they are?
Croatia still.
There you go. That's it. I mean, it's I will defend that because I do think we got way more like visuals of the house, if that makes sense, especially because speaking of throwback, like we got old school room drama. Like, when's the last time we saw someone cry over what room they're in?
Yeah, that was old school. To see Brenda very upset. Obviously, you know what? I'd be upset too if I wasn't in the same room as Michelle. That sucks. If you're like that close to Michelle, not in the same room, that sucks. Let's go to sleep.
Michelle is living like an inverse situation from like how she reacted to Nani. Like, Michelle's like, yeah, we like did a season together.
Michelle really is like the belle of the ball. Coming off again, like where she was for Challenge USA 2, like everyone, she was in with everyone. Here she is again, like in with everyone. Like, she, I mean, the side, which like alliance she wants to work with. Like, everyone loves Michelle.
She's Queen Bee. Let's talk about the rest of the rooms, though. So Olivia, Nerys, Huhui, and Zara are together, which is fascinating after the episode zero discussion about Nelson telling Nerys to like watch out for Zara. I guess it's a keep your friends close and your enemies closer situation.
Yeah, I guess so. I was waiting to see a little bit more confessionals of like some of the season 38 girls being like, all right, we know we're close, but let's also branch out. But maybe they were kind of afraid to branch out after how Nerys like shot that down really hard when Michelle or Olivia tried to like bring in someone, and Nerys was like, no, this is the crew. And they, maybe they were afraid to even mention the idea of like, all right, let's spread our wings a little bit so we can have our hands in different pots.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see like Olivia and Nerys, who were, like you said, sort of at odds with who can be in it, lock in with Huhui and Zara, who were not in Nerys's sort of dream alliance. Like, I wonder if that was just random, if like Olivia saw, oh, Nerys saw Olivia like with them and was like, well, I've got to be there to be like on the scene. I don't know. I don't know who Mariah is with. Like, I guess Mariah and Michelle are together, but it's funny that Raven is sort of the odd person out with Colleen and Jessica and a crying Berna.
Yeah, it's the odd people out, but also like that could be the most valuable room, right? Like, that's the one where it is a little bit more of like a mishmash crew, and that could be where like the strongest bonds might start to form. If you're already close with people, you don't necessarily need to be in the room with them. So this crew, at least a couple of them, especially one or two of them, get knocked out. Like, if Berna gets knocked out early, like maybe the other three, Colleen, like seems to have, you know, a much better head on her shoulders going into the season. Like, maybe that trio could be like pretty strong.
Yeah, it's interesting given that, like, I don't know. I feel like Raven's the wiggliest. I was gonna say the wiggliest tooth, the wiggliest baby tooth in the mouth of the Olivia.
That's an incredible analogy. I love that.
Olivia, Nerys, Michelle, Mariah alliance, given the like Nerys and Raven, you know, it's water under the bridge, but they didn't discuss it like before 5 minutes ago. And now seeing her lock up with Colleen and Berna, like, yeah, maybe she is the one most likely potentially to sort of stray with her roommates. Although Jessica's now gone and Berna doesn't want to work with anybody.
Right. So, all right. Well, Colleen and Raven are going to dominate things together. Two people room.
What'd you think of Jay's toast? Which, like, I'm jumping in to say, Big T, episode zero toast, kind of looking when somebody else jumps in and gets the episode one toast.
Yeah, I would have given, like, episode one toast is the toast. Because, again, cause there is a lot of people, I'm sure, that might not even have seen the episode. But I don't think it was even in the previously on, or maybe it was. I think they caught a little bit of her toast. But, like, the premiere toast is the toast. And also Jay's toast kind of rhymed a little bit more. Seemed like it got a little, I think it was a little bit better. I think it was, I give Jay a little bit more of the nod to give the toast. I almost wish they just came together. Like, Jay should have just like brought Big T up and be like, no, like, let's do it together. But it was a decent toast.
I think the toast is dead. Cause now like Jay's toast wasn't even bad. But so for anyone who wants to know, to the players of the past, thank you for paving the way. But we're the next generation and we're here to stay. So raise your glasses and drink with me and maybe spin the bottle and make out with Huey, which is a reference to episode zero. Again, these people don't know what episode is what. Like, so they don't know this. But like, I don't know. It was just such like a natural, iconic moment that sort of evolved over time. And now it's like so referential of like, who's making the toast? And we both, Big T and Jay, reference the people of the past. It's like, I don't know. I think we need to cool it. It's like what we said about Nani a few seasons ago. Like, the toast has to take a break and come back in a few seasons.
Maybe. I don't know. I still think they kind of need it. I almost think that it needs to be more like whoever comes in the power, almost like that should be like the reward. If you win the first daily, it's like you get to give the speech to like kick off the season and everything. There should be more of like, how was it decided? Maybe there should be like a fan vote going into the season. Who gets to do the speech? I don't know. I think it's just like who's delivering it and what they're saying more so than the speech to go away. Cause there was also the Nelson speech, which was like iconically hysterical when it was just like him fumbling over his words. So I think we still need the speech and it's still a fun part of the premiere. It gets the people going.
I just had almost a moment akin to when I just randomly wished you a happy birthday in the podcast and it wasn't even close to your birthday. I just had the thought, did you see that Tony Raines got married?
Didn't that happen a little while ago? Or did that just happen? Maybe I thought like, I'm getting engaged.
Within the month?
Okay, then no, I did not.
Well, maybe it really is a happy birthday moment. It happened like 6 years ago.
Good for Tony.
They got married October 14th, thank God. Okay, so at least it is still relevant to... that's a video now playing from their Instagram. To Alyssa of Real World Skeletons or Extreme or whatever, like, version people you don't want to see coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Come back. Good, but, like, a family was born out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, stop playing. The girls are so old. Their daughters are so old now.
You might be popping up in a season soon, potentially, at some point.
Yeah, I wish I could explain how my brain works, but it was like, oh, what if, like, people coming into power, and then I pictured Tony in the Burger King crown making the speech, and then I was like, oh, Tony just got married. Anyway, let's keep talking about Jay, because Big T says that she's in alliance basically with everyone, but the first people she says are Mel and Jay. And it's, again, we were saying this in episode zero, like, every single person is saying that Jay is their number one. I am worried about this blowing up in Jay's face.
Yeah, it's interesting because these are like the three, amazingly to say it about like these three, but these are like more of the established vets. Like, they go back more than just beyond season 38. Like, they go maybe like season 35 or 36 is when they kind of came onto the scene. So they have much more of a history together than some of these other people. So it does make sense that the three of them would potentially be as close as they are. But what's interesting for Jay, though, is like a lot of people are saying his name, that they're like working with him. But no, at least at this point, no one's comparing notes as much. So it will be interesting to see how Jake is handled. Because obviously, like, that kind of blew up in his face his last time of like him relying on him being relied on by too many people. So maybe he has learned from that and is able to kind of navigate more of like, oh, but they just think I'm the number one, but like, I'm not really working with them. Like, maybe he has an out of how to get out of this.
I know, but that's like not really Jay's style, you know? Like, Jay, I feel like, tries to really be ride or die. And like, just to track this, I think it's Nerys, Big T, Michelle, and Asaf for sure have all mentioned Jay in like the first one or two people of their alliances. Yep. To your point, we haven't really heard that being validated from Jay, except he was in the package with Nerys and he was like, yes, Asaf and I are very close.
Right. I think Michelle was more like, Jay is 100% my ride or die. I don't think we got that reciprocated from Jay. I mean, I think he obviously is close with Michelle, but I think it seems like he's closer to Asaf than he is Michelle. So I think that is his true number one.
Yeah. And they're definitely like challenge relationships. And I know, you know, saying this to the audience, like, we're like,
I need reminders too, please.
No, but you're not so close. Like, Banana said this in your exit interview, like, there are people he like, he doesn't like to take his work home right. So he's like, I don't really talk to that many people between seasons, but he shows up and expects friendship and loyalty. And like, that's not just unique to Bananas. Like, there are a lot of people who I think, like, it's like summer camp when you're here, Olive Garden, when you're here, your family, but when I'm home, I'm home and I don't see you. Like, Jay and Asaf definitely like have their friendship outside of the challenge. Bringing that in is always sort of a sticky situation as opposed to just challenge allies.
Yep. I can see the season coming out like a lot of people having a lot of hatred from a lot of people. I think a lot of people are coming into the season thinking that they could be like the main player, the main character. And if things go bad for some of them, I could see there being a lot of bad blood coming out of the season. Like on future season, I think a lot of people are going to be pointing to, well, what happened on season 39? I have to get revenge for X, Y, and Z. I think there's a lot of potential for some new rivalries being formed this season.
It's a great point. And so maybe TJ, you know, producer TJ was right all along. This was the season to wait for, because like when you only do one or two seasons of a show, those wounds are deeper. When yep. it's your 80th season and someone slighted you or whatever, you're like, all right, like I'm upset. Like Bananas shaking off the Josh of it all. Like,
yep.
Whatever. Like that's the game. And I've been burned over the last 20 years. Doesn't hurt as much. You know, you always remember your first betrayal.
Right. Like if Nerys gets screwed over by, you know, like Laurel, like that's just one of 1,000 people that's getting screwed over by Laurel. But if she gets into another feud with like Raven or Melissa or something, like that's something that's deep rooted and could really play out in future seasons.
I would love to see that. All right. So as you said, a lot of names are thrown out. The girlies are thinking of targeting. I'm just going to call Nerys, Olivia, and Mariah's alliance the girlies until they give me a name. We really do need alliance names here when there's like.
I just be calling them season 38. Yeah, I just call them season 38. That's my tagline.
The girlies, the girlies like plus maybe Chauncey are starting to think about targeting Berna or even Mel to weaken Big T, which feels like an aggressive first move. But Big T stumping for the ladies is like, girls, let's vote out a guy. I feel like I have to side with Big T on this week one.
Especially because, again, if they are thinking this is like the format going forward, as she points out, like if we knock out one girl, all of a sudden it's 12-11 and the guys can just kind of do whatever they want. If there's no, you know, guy and girl coming to power or even like a trilogy coming in the power, if it's just like the house vote every single time with not like an HOH, like the 12 guys could just be like, yeah, let's just vote out the 11 girls. Like, obviously, that's probably not going to happen. There's going to be some people of the men that's going to want to work with some of the women, but it does force their hand of like needing one of them to side with them.
It's also like an interesting question, like Challenge USA 2 raised of like, what's their plan to have this balanced? And maybe they don't have one because there's going to be one individual winner, but like, from a viewer perspective, they should have a plan. Like, we don't want to see a final with like five guys running the final.
Right. I mean, even I think it was Nerys that said it. Or even, I guess Big T probably said it. Like, if the whole final is just like all guys, that would suck. And like, that's not even something that was even hinted at on USA 2, where theoretically, like, I think they were self-policing themselves to never get more than like two men over women anytime. But it never really came up on the show. Like, that was like always like hidden under the surface that the show was trying, or the cast was trying to do that. They never hinted at like, oh, this could just all be women's eliminations for all we care. Like here, they actually just dropped it in the premiere of like, oh, this could just be an all men final theoretically. And it's almost a little scary that they included that scene, because that means like maybe that's where we're going.
Yeah. Ooh. Speaking of the audacity of men, let's talk about Callum's girlfriend, not girlfriend. Have you watched Winter House yet?
I have not watched Winter House. Is he on Winter House?
No, but Corey, do you watch Summer House this year, right?
Yes.
So Corey, who has like is dating Sam from Summer House, shows up on Winter House, and this was taped right in March. So like, whatever. I don't know where their relationship is, but the women are like, hey, are you single? And he's like, I've got kind of a girl, but it's like, if you can't say yes or no to that question, the answer is no. Right. And you stink. Callum.
What's a worse answer? Doing all that or doing I think, was it Asaf that said, like, oh no, it was Emmanuel, like, this is like the worst moment of my life to be not single. Like, what would you rather hear as the girl back home? Like, I'd rather do anything else than be not single right now, or I don't know.
Okay. I think it's an excellent question. Neither are good.
No, neither are good.
Acknowledging your relationship, but then lamenting, like, wow, if I were single, I could be crushing it. You know, it's like, I think the spirit of what Manuel's saying is, like, you know, people who are married who never did dating apps who are like, oh my God, if I had apps and I was single, I would crush. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. like they wish they were like sleeping around and weren't married, but like, whatever. I understand the spirit of Manuel's comment. The denial, the difference is like denying your relationship so that you can smash and act single is worse than wishing you could smash and act single, but not doing it.
Yeah. I'm sorry for making you defend Emmanuel's comments in those moments, but no, it was an important question.
It was an important thought exercise. I now side with Manuel. So if like, also the way my like throat is going, I'm dropping the E. I'm saying Emmanuel. And I think like, there again, it was like a Mandela effect. Like, it's the same with Gary versus Jerry on The Golden Bachelor. Like, I feel like some people call him Emmanuel and some people call him Emmanuel. I am not calling him Manuel. Like, I'm trying to eat. My throat is just not working. Anyway,
it's Manny. He's now Manny.
Yeah, well, that's what he needs us to do, is give him an unfortunate nickname because we're right. Idiots. Or I am. So I think, here's the thing. We love Michelle. Michelle is the Taylor Swift of the challenge. Like, she falls right in all the time. She's the female Fessel. Like, she catches feelings for everyone on the show. That said, and it is not her fault that Callum is going to cheat on his girlfriend, who he says, I love you too, during the phone call home. But if a guy is giving you an answer of like, I kind of have a girl back home, that's a red flag. Like, why is she like, well, he's single, I've gotten the green light.
It's the eyes, the red flags. They turn into beautiful eyes, and you can't look past the eyes. The red flags dissipate.
And I can't blame Callum, because that Jersey Shore appeal is just off the charts.
What's amazing is, doesn't she live in Hoboken? Like, that is absolutely not the Jersey Shore.
Confirmed.
But yeah, you know, it's all the same. Jersey Shore, fist bumping Hoboken. It's right there.
And here's the real audacity of Callum, is like, he looks to the camera straight face and fully believes this, says it with his full chest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault.
Right. No, it's production. It's production's fault.
Callum, respectfully, it's your fault. You suck.
Oh, but it's going to be so freaking messy between the two of them. And this is like, Michelle's just an incredible reality TV person. Like, she could be so like socially charming, playing such like an adult game of Survivor. And then she's also able to slum it down here, getting into the messy relationships and the challenge. Like, did she do the men to both worlds of Challenge USA? She's a great reality TV contestant.
Not slum it.
It's slumming it.
We need the hookups. Put that on a pedestal.
No, it's great. No, the slumming it, I meant as a compliment.
The slumming is great. Here's another thing I want to track this season. Colleen last season was all about the mole, the mole, the mole. I'm the mole. I was the mole. I continue to be the mole. I'm incredible at being the mole. And then she got voted out like immediately for being the mole. Now I feel like she's doing the same mole thing, but it's with being a psychologist.
Mm.
So like, she's giving Karen from Mean Girls when she's like, there's a 30% chance it's already raining. Like, I'm a psychologist, so I can tell by Berna's body language that she can't make connections. And also by the fact that she's crying to me in a conversation that she can't make connections. Like, you did not need any degree to say that Berna was being excluded from the house.
Yeah, I think even TJ could tell that Berna is being excluded from the house. So, but, you know, but she's trying to like build that bond with Berna. Look, someone has to. Berna has to feel the connection with someone. She's also, as much as they probably want her out, like, Berna's a great person that's going to probably win 3 or 4 eliminations before actually going home, so you might as well have her on her side. So A plus for Colleen for trying.
I could tell by Berna sobbing in the bed 2 beds over from me that she was having a tough time, because I'm trained in this. Like,
hey, at least she's not saying it wrong. At least she's like, oh, Berna looks so happy, because I'm trained in this. I can tell she's having a great time.
Very, very, very true. The public debate, I think, ended up really being, and maybe this is to your earlier criticism about like everyone having like a reason to toss the people they wanted to toss in. But it ends up really being like a couple people defending themselves. And so between Berna, Big T, and Jess, Ding, Mary, Kill their appeals to the group.
All right. So obviously the kill is what she did to herself would be Jessica. I think that, I mean, it's hard to even like Ding or Mara the other two, because Jessica just like, I mean, she took a blowtorch to herself. It was one of the more impressive performances I've ever seen of someone. At first I was like, oh, she, you know, she's giving a heartfelt speech of like, she knows she is small. I almost started typing my notes, anticipating what her speech was going to be like. Oh, Jessica talking about how she's small, but she's got a big heart. She's always going to give it 100%. Like, don't ever count her out. But then she just kept going, be like, yeah, I know I'm small. I'm almost definitely going to lose. I'm certainly not going to win this thing, but I just want to like be here for a little bit. But even if I win, I don't want the money. I'm going to give it to charity. Maybe someone to my mom, but not really. More so to charity, because I don't really need it. So I just want to be here for a couple of weeks and help someone else win. I think it was like every wrong thing you could possibly say in a speech. Like, I think she Googled worst reality show speech ever and said everything. Everything possible other than like dropping like some racial shit. But like, at least she didn't do that. So she got like just game stuff, and it was all really, really bad.
It's so true. It's also, I too thought she was going in a certain direction. Like, I thought she was going to be like, I'm small. I don't have a chance of winning. So I'm not a threat. So
right,
it's a big weight to get me out. And then just like, nope. And then it's not even like, if she was like, I'm fighting for a good reason. Like, if we could twist to like, I want to give the money to charity. To say, quote, the money means nothing to me.
It's
like also the worst way to say that's like the, what you have left your family, your jobs, your kids in some cases for to come when the, what Emmanuel calls life-changing money, that is worthless to me. I wipe my tush with $300,000. Like, get her out then. I would vote for her too.
Yeah. Jessica's life is fine. What is she? She doesn't need this place. She's just here for a couple of paid days of vacation.
Someone shows up at my job and is like, oh, it's payday today. Well, this paycheck means nothing to me. I mean, get out. Get out. What are you doing here then?
I'll take it. Give me your money.
I do think I would. I'm marrying Big T's because I like that she was like, I'm a very loyal player. And so I'm expecting loyalty from those I'm loyal to. It was like a nice little like godfather threat to like her people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ding Jess's for the craziness, and I'm going to kill Berna's just like such a sad, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just want to say like, I'm sorry. And I'm going to change who I am as a person. Like, I feel so bad for Berna. Berna does not deserve the, like, I don't think she should have been crying over her room, but like, she has had a rough go of it, and she's like a good competitor. And I feel terrible that like, this has been her experience.
Don't change for these people. These people are not worth you changing your entire, like, maybe, I guess, maybe like tone it down a little bit and like be like fake friendly to like people and like
change
a work
for
environment.
Brian, but don't change for the people on the show.
No, not for these people. Certainly not. But again, also maybe there's a way to be a more pleasant person sometimes in like a work environment where, you know, you're competing for money. But other than that, stay true to yourself.
Wow. Beautiful. With that, let's get to the public vote where Jessica catches 23 votes, including her own. What the hell is Horacio doing? Please put this in your notes. When Horacio goes home, I need to understand why he votes for Big T for no reason at all.
No reason at all. I guess it's just, I guess it's like just to like show that you're capable of like free thinking, right? Like, you're not just going to like go with the herd. So in a later vote, it's like, look, I didn't just go along with the Jessica vote. I'm ready to do my own thing. I want to do our own thing. Like, I'm not just going to like jump on with the house here. But it just points to him not being scared of Big T at all, because you're not going to do that vote on someone that like you're scared of like coming into power and like whipping votes together and winning. And I do think it is underestimating Big T, because that is probably what she's would be best at, like socially, like gathering a crew. It was just a weird, weird move for Horacio to do that.
You know, it shows that you're not afraid to make moves and be free thinking, whatever, is like making a move, getting the votes, and making something happen. You know, it proves nothing. Burning a vote on one of the more well-connected people that you're supposedly Well, I guess she's not a part of that, like, Olivia crew, but I was not impressed by this from Horacio. It was giving ego. It was giving. And then the confessional, which, like, I'll be charitable to him as Jess wishes she would be with the money. Like, I don't think that confessional, like, really was his rationale for the vote when he was like, I've had to prove myself 5 times. Like, everybody has to prove themselves. Like, that's, like, can't be what your thought about Big T is, that she, like, needs to get down in the sand and stop being a puppet, like, a puppet master. That's, like, not who she is.
No, and I hope this isn't the first sign of a little bit of the public perception and how his first season went going to his head a little bit of people were so in love with Horacio and things went, like, so great for him. And even the final, like, yes, he had a heartbreaking, like, way to went out, but it wasn't him taking, the, like, the ball to the face. Like, it was like, oh, Horacio would have won if Olivia didn't, like, have to get medevac because she broke her nose. So I'm worried that, like, how great things went for him is, like, he feels like he can do no wrong. And, like, this is a move that someone, I feel like, would make if they feel like everything's going to work out for me. I can, like, do this. I can be the showman here and, like, stand out and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. Red flag.
Certainly. Another red flag. I don't think it really matters that much. It's more just, like, for fun talking, but I don't like that we're kind of done changing the name of the Elimination Chamber, that it just called the Arena now kind of forever. I don't like that. I like the fun surprise of hearing what they're calling it each season. I also don't like, I don't like that we're staying in the same country. I don't know if all of a sudden, like, we're getting, like, Fiji vibes and Croatia is just kind of where we're being. Like, keep it fresh, like, move around, change the names. Like, again, it doesn't really add that much to it if they're in a different country or that they call it something else besides the arena. But I just don't like that repeating cycle of it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just looking right now. So I guess they were in Argentina for 38, but they've been in Croatia for 37, 39, and then USA too. I think it's interesting. They've moved more than I would have said they've moved. Like, I would have said the last 10 seasons have been in Croatia, but just looking at the Wikipedia, I was trying to, like, I think I agree. I think every, like, last season I was like, oh, is it still the arena? Like, it is a little boring. But I think they've gotten themselves in trouble probably with, like, the gulag, right? Like, they've used culturally insensitive, words or more, like, insensitive of atrocities. I don't know. I think it wouldn't take that many people that much effort to come up with an unoffensive name for the arena. Right.
Even, like, when they called it the Proving Ground, like, I don't care. Just keep it fresh. Show me that you're thinking that you want to, like, keep it fresh and change it up rather than just repeating everything. Again, it doesn't really change anything, like, calling it the arena or Proving Grounds or whatever, but it's just, like, a shine of a sign of some dedication.
Yeah. Well, like, it's called Battle for a New Champion. You could call it the Battleground. You could call it, but, like, in a way it's like, yeah, I think Survivor lost more when it just went to Fiji because it used to be about, like, the culture of where they were and whatever, but, like, make it at least thematic to the season, because that's what the challenge loves. It's like, the season, this time we're going to have a new champion that you're going to be crowned. A new champion will be crowned, but you got to get through these people. Like, they love the theme. So let's bring the theme all the way through. It's like a party that doesn't have, like, the theme throughout. Like,
yep.
You set it up. Let's see it through. I agree. I think this is the most important thing we've discussed tonight.
There we go. Love it. I do like the elimination, though. Obviously, Jessica, like you said, Jessica gets basically every vote, comes down. TJ announces she gets to pick anyone, but any woman. So it does imply that there's not going to be men on women elimination. So that is, like, the only sign that kind of points to that they're going to try to do some things to even it out at a certain point. If 3 or 4 women or something get a row, maybe there'll be, like, a purge or some type of thing. The fact that they're not going to do men versus women eliminations is a positive. And then she calls out Big T.
Yeah, I had to go back because after TJ said something at the end of the challenge, when he was like, there's no one here, man or woman, who could have beaten you tonight. I was like, hold on. Could Jess have picked a man? And then I went back and caught what he said. As far as the actual challenge, I feel like I was a little lost watching this of, like, what, not what was difficult about this, but like what the challenge was.
I'll be completely honest. Also, I had to, after Big T won, I had to rewind because I was like, wait, what were the rules for this again? They just had to like smash the glass. I don't understand what the point of the first thing was. They had to clear off the tiles. What did the tiles matter? Just to like open up the glass? Because it didn't help them pull the rope, did it?
Yeah, and TJ and Big T was being very like, oh, I have so much experience. I'm using both of my hands. Well, like, who wouldn't use both of their hands?
Jordan.
And he would. Like, anybody would use this. And I'm in the center of the box. Like, it was a very small box. You could only be in the center of the box. Like, it didn't feel like there was a lot of skill. Maybe there's a lot of speed and urgency and adrenaline, and does not take away from Big T. When I saw the setup, I thought the hammer was going to come down to like a tug of war, but really it was just two hammers at the end of their ropes. Like both of them could have gotten the hammer.
Yeah, it's also weird to have the person win come flying out of the box. At first, when Big T won, I was like, wait, did Big T lose? She won. It was the one who smashed in the glass. Normally, it's like the opposite, right? Like you get your opponent out of the glass, like they come shattering down and fall. So it was just a weird mechanic. I mean, look, it was a fine elimination, but it was just a little confusing.
And because it was so weird, that's why I also was like, oh, like a man and a woman could have equally competed in this. So then I was like, oh, well, that would at least make sense if it's a gender neutral challenge. The fact that it's not is like, okay. But kudos to Big T. Big T gets it done.
It would have been disastrous for her to lose the first elimination here, like to come back after her few seasons off. And then to lose to Jessica of all people, in no matter what type of elimination this was, this would have been like almost something you can't come back from Big T. So I'm glad she pulled this off, and it seems like the show is making her to be like kind of a main character this season. So at least for the first part of this season, however long she may last. So I'm very, very happy she stayed over Jessica.
Yeah, I am too. Like I was rooting for Big T, but I am sad to see Jessica go this early, because I do think in episode 0 and episode 1 she showed like a lot of potential for weird decisions, like her speech, you know, like she's an ideal rookie. She's stepping out in front in episode 0, calling out Olivia and Nerys and Mariah and Raven. And that's sort of what gets her name on Olivia's radar, because Kylan heard that. So like, she's was playing really hard from the beginning. She had some interesting drama with Kieran. I think we are losing something by losing her, but I wasn't ready to lose Big T.
Yep. So Big T wins. That's really it. I was waiting to see if there was an extra like layer of like, oh, you win elimination, you get a power or something else. Which is no, TJ just says Big T, go back to the group. And Jessica, something like, I do hope we get to see you play. It was like a nice goodbye, but knowing like P will never see her again for as long as he lives.
You never know.
I'm pretty sure. That's it though. That's episode 1. We had the nice little the season on trailer that was, again, still confusing as to what this format is, because I saw a lot of different things that didn't seem to make much sense as to what the format was supposed to be. And I still don't know what the champions are going to do. So I guess we'll see whenever they start popping up.
But very exciting. Also, at least on where I watch on YouTube TV, trailer for Ink Master. Ink Master is back, baby. Love Ink Master. Set that to record.
Love it. Incredible. Anything else for the premiere?
What else there could be? What? Nope. Oh my God, I'm Ryan. What else could there be?
I love it. I love how it also always starts with like you poking fun at me for doing it. And then as the episode builds, you start doing these mess ups too. And I love it. We're becoming one.
Oh, if I had a dollar for every time I made fun of someone for doing something that I do, the money would mean nothing to me.
There you go. Perfect. You can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/challengefeed. You can follow me on Twitter and TikTok at @ConBryan_, and they can follow you
at @LashTweets.
We will be back.
Pressing content currently.
Perfect. Be back.
<It's> accurate.
Very accurate. Very accurate. We'll be back next week for episode 2. Until then, have a good one.